Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 5 million Americans suffer from Alzheimer's disease and dementia. 1.5 million of them are spending the last stages of their lives in 16,000 nursing homes across the country. Half never have visitors. Many feel isolated and have lost their ability to engage. So social worker Dan Cohen had a pretty simple idea. What if these people had access to their favorite music? He tried it, and the results were astounding. When Henry, a 94-year-old dementia patient, listened to his favorite music, he was brought back to life. Not only did he start singing, he was also able to remember and talk about his past. For those living with dementia, listening to music can be a back door into the mind. Dan Cohen is now on a mission to give iPods and headphones to every person living in a nursing home. Today's guest, Michael Rosato Bennett, followed Dan Cohen around for 3 years documenting the power of music. And Michael tells this incredible story in the new documentary, Alive Inside. It's playing now at the Opera Plaza Cinema in San Francisco, Camera 7 in San Jose, and Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley. Michael Rosato Bennett is the writer, director, and producer of Alive Inside, the winner of the 2014 Sundance Film Festival Audience Award for U.S. documentaries, and he joins us from New York. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I loved the documentary. I should say, if you see it, you should bring tissues, because it's just such an amazing film. When did you first meet the social worker, Dan Cohen, who's trying to get iPods into all nursing homes across the country?
Well, you know, it's kind of, you know, hindsight is 20/20. And in your description of Dan, it sounds like he knew exactly what he was doing then, you know. But this has been, we've been working together for a couple of years now, almost 4 years, and it was a very organic process, learning everything that we learned in the process of those years. And crow a little bit, but we also won like the Milan International Film Festival and Provincetown International and the Berkshire International and Sedona and Calgary International, and we've won quite a few, and we always win the Audience Award. So it's been an amazing ride for the film. But anyway, to answer your question, you know, this was just literally started out as a job. A friend of mine worked for the Shelley and Donald Rubin Foundation, and she knew that I was a kind of broke filmmaker, and she said, "Mike, you know, we just gave a little grant to this guy who's giving music to people in nursing homes, and you know, could you, you know, shoot some footage, maybe put together a website for the guy?" And I'm like, "Okay, sure." You know, and she was like, "You do websites, right?" And I was like, "Of course, yeah, of course." And I'd never built a website, you know, in my life. But I needed the job, and it turned out to be, you know, a kind of a frightening experience. I don't know if you have ever been in a nursing home or if your listeners have, but I was overwhelmed when I first followed Dan into the first nursing home. Was a 600-bed public institution, and there were literally 100 people lining the hallway as I walked in, you know, in various stages of sort of sleep. I mean, they were, you know, kind of slumped over in their wheelchairs, and it was for a person who was uninitiated and unprepared, it was a very frightening experience. And I, at that moment, my beginning moment, I thought this was the worst job I'd ever taken.
Wow.
And you know, but you know, when Henry was wheeled up in front of me, and I got to experience this transformation, this literal resurrection of a human soul, it just blew me away. I couldn't believe that just giving somebody the music of their youth that they have deep emotional connection to has the power to sort of go into the mind in a way that nothing else does. And a very, like, literally that first day, I had tears in my eyes, and I knew in that moment that there was something here that the world needed to know about, needed to pull into their consciousness as a ground of beginning in dealing with anybody with dementia. You know, the way we deal now is we kind of run. we push our people away, and we kind of hide our own consciousness from our own thoughts of aging and our fears of what happens to us when we get old. And you know through this investigation, I found for myself a way past my own fears and my own fears of aging, and I learned so much about the aging process and its gifts that it has for each of us, even though that sounds so strange to the average listener. But you know, there are such gifts from aging. You know, I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't want to be your 20-year-old self for the rest of your life. You know, there's wisdom that comes through time and literal suffering. You know, we all have to deal with suffering, and it's such a wonderful teacher, and it makes us such so much better humans. And I was very it was a beautiful journey that this work has taken me on.
Well, and I'm glad that you describe your experience in the nursing home, because I was shocked to learn that there's no music in nursing homes. It seems like that's
no, that is not true. Is not true.
It's not, because I didn't see any radios, and I mean, almost felt like people were listening to music for the first time in years. So can you
talk about that? I mean, yes, let me talk about it. I don't want to give that impression. Music is the number one activity in nursing homes. Once a week, somebody comes in and sings. Music is piped over a lot of the times through the loudspeakers. And there's a lot of music. There's television on all the time. What there isn't is personalized music, personal music, music that people have a specific relationship and experience on an intimate level. When Dan was first going in, his friends were like, you can't do this. These people are isolated enough already. You can't give them music. If you give them music through headphones, you'll just isolate them more. But what happened was the exact opposite of that. When he got his first grant to give people music, he did it for 200 people, and all of the caregivers, institutional caregivers, came back and said, what happened was people were more social. They were like, hey, have you heard this song? This is when I was a boy, and this is where I came from. And it created all kinds of opportunities for interaction between caregivers and the residents and residents and other residents. And Dan didn't invent anything. Music therapists have been working in this space for 60 years. There's so much scientific studies that have been done that show music's capacity to touch people on an emotional level, and the capacity of that sort of an experience to awaken functionality. Like, this is well known. What happened is, look, the thing about nursing homes is what you said in the top of the program. 50% of these people, they get no visitors ever. And we're not just talking about for 1 year. Sometimes that's the last 10 years of their life. And when you go into, what you're really doing when you go into a nursing home is you're going into an institution. You're going into an institutionalized way of living that's, in the worst places, completely set up for the staff and not really set up for the emotional needs of the residents. I mean, imagine yourself. I'm sure you've been to the hospital before, and it's not fun. It's something you endure for a day or two, and then you go home. But, these people don't have any home left. This is their home. And that's what I think some of the power was, that when you bring somebody a bit of who they are, specifically the songs that, have had tremendous meaning to them, Dan told me a story a couple days ago. They had brought a music to an elderly man, and they found out what music that he loved, and they gave it to him. And Dan came back like 2 weeks later and says, "Well, where's his music? I thought we'd given him his music." And the caregivers were like, "Well, we took it away because he was crying." And so Dan was like, well, what was he listening to? And they told him. And so he went back to the son who had given them the information about the music and said, you know, well, this is the song that they were playing, and he was crying. And the son said, oh, well, that was their wedding song. You know, he's crying because... I get choked up when I say stuff like that. He's crying because he's processing. Please give him back his music.
Mm.
And so then Dan went back to the caregivers and said, please give him his music, you know? Because, you know, feelings, at the end of our life, you know, we start to process, like, all of that life that we never lived, we never processed when we were moving so fast through it. You know, and it's amazing how much music has the capacity to awaken images and experiences that are sort of stored in our being. I did this last night. I was at a theater, and I would offer this to you and your listeners. Like, just do this with me for a second. Like, close your eyes, okay? And go back to when you were 15, 16, 17, teenage years, and see if you can find a memory of you listening to music. Of you as a teenager listening to music. And, okay, I have one. One comes to me. I'm sure your listeners have something. And if you explore that recollection, you'll find that you can actually hear that music. And if you explore it a little more, you'll find out that you can look around in your memory and you can see literally like a painting, like a photograph, everything that was happening. And if you go back even further into that memory, you'll find that it's you back then listening to the music. Not you now listening to this music in a memory. It's like part of your being is stored inside of your memory. And this is the gift of music. Like, did any memory come for you?
Oh, yeah, many memories.
What came for you? Tell me. Come on.
Well, in high school, I used to just sort of lay on my bed and listen to music and, you know, slow songs, love songs, fast songs. And, yeah, I remember actually the bedspread. I remember the old stereo. I remember the posters on the wall. The images came pretty quickly.
Right. And like, if I were to say to you, like, right now, sort of, like, remember a memory from when you were 15 or 16, it would come, but it wouldn't come in that sort of technicolor way. You know, I like to say that inside of our minds are the greatest documentary films ever made, the greatest feature films ever made. Like, our memories are so amazing. They're these visual, you know, they're films. They're literally movies. And these are there are movies in people's minds that no one will ever see and will be gone when they're gone. And to me as a filmmaker, I just wish there were some way you could capture those movies.
Speeding Distance and Beach in my first car blasting the radio. There's another one that came up. That we're talking
and it came up physically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. You felt it, and I'm sure your listeners felt it.
Michael Rosato Bennett is writer, director, and producer of Alive Inside, an incredible documentary that looks at the power of music. What happens when you go into a nursing home and give patients with Alzheimer's and dementia an iPod with some of their favorite music? It's pure magic. You can watch the trailer at our website, yourcallradio.org. Alive Inside is playing now at the Opera Plaza Cinema in San Francisco, Camera 7 in San Jose, and Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley. And if you'd like to join us to talk about the power of music, we'd love to hear from you. If you work in this field, have you worked with music? What effect has it had on patients? If you have a relative that's in a nursing home, have you ever done this kind of therapy with your relative? In the film, Dr. Peter Davies with the Feinstein Institute is quoted as saying, I've spent 38 years working on Alzheimer's, and I haven't done anything for patients that's as effective as music therapy. And you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And I want to play a clip from the film, but first off, can you tell us a little bit about Henry?
Henry was a man who was, he started having seizures at home, and his daughter couldn't take care of him anymore. And so she put him in a local New York City nursing home, and he just sort of retreated into himself. He would literally, just kind of bury his chin in his chest. And I saw him many times, just kind of sort of lost to the world. And actually, he was in this institution for eight years before Dan came and gave him his music.
And so here's a clip from Alive Inside, and in this clip you will hear Dr. Oliver Sacks, a neurologist, today's guest, Michael Rosato Bennett, and Dan Cohen, the social worker who volunteers at the nursing home.
Since Henry has reacquired his identity for a while through the power of music.
What does music do to you?
Give me the feeling of love. No match. Figure right now the world need to come into music, singing. You got beautiful music here. Beautiful. Oh, lovely. And I feel the band of love, dream. The Lord came to me, made me holy. I'm a holy man. So he gave me these sounds. I'll just say, I meet you. Let me see. Rosalie, won't you love me? Rosalie, won't you be sweet and kind?
What do you think happened with Henry? I mean, what did we just see happening with Henry?
We connected with Henry. We connected with Henry's self. You know, when you're in a nursing home or when you have Alzheimer's disease, you're really struggling with your own thoughts and confusion and anxiety.
Dan was excited. I was excited. What if all these people we'd seen could be awakened like Henry?
All of a sudden, everything falls into place, and you're right there with the music. You understand it. It's pleasurable. You're not thinking about anything else. You're not struggling.
Oh, how lovely.
And that is a clip from the new documentary, Alive Inside. And Michael, it was also amazing to watch everyone else respond to Henry's awakening. So it's not just affecting Henry, it's affecting the people around him.
I mean, that is such an amazing point. I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, about a week ago, I was in an institution. It was a very, very old and kind of cold institution. And I was sitting there talking to some of the doctors, and I was in an empty room, and it was just very sad, and kind of this room was like, it was really like a prison, I'm sorry. And I was just really kind of, I couldn't, the walls themselves were kind of bringing me down. And then all of a sudden, like, I just sort of felt like I felt good, and I didn't know why. And I turned around, and one of the residents that had been given their music had walked into the room. She was about a 96-year-old woman, and she had the headphones on, and I couldn't hear the music. She was hearing the music, but I couldn't hear it. And she was grooving to it. You know, she was just kind of, and literally she came up behind me, and the very temperature of the room changed. In other words, I felt something from her just entering the room, being in herself. And this is what we saw over and over again. Like, don't forget, we weren't playing music that everybody could hear. We were putting headphones on people, so they were the only ones who could hear what was happening. And as they woke up out of their slumber, everybody in the room, like all of the other elders, they started like fidgeting in their chairs and looking around and moving, and it was one of the most odd things I've ever experienced. It's like if you're in a room of sleeping people and one person wakes up to an emotional experience, somehow that jumps. It jumps across the space that divides people, and this is an absolutely mysterious phenomenon, and I have no explanation of why it works. But I think, you know, you can understand it in your own life, you know, like when, if everybody's in a room is depressed and somebody comes in and just says, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, it, like, you know, it can change the quality of the room.
Right.
And you're so right. Like, literally everybody, when Henry woke up, everybody felt it. You know, and that's why, you know, you said bring tissues. And it is, I can't help crying when I see this film, but the tears are, for me, are more hopeful. You know, for you know, 50 years, we've been dealing with this disease called Alzheimer's, and there's really been no good news about it. Mm-hmm. And so to have something for people suffering for these kinds of dementias, or but even perhaps more importantly, for the people that love them and care for them, for the caregivers, you know, to have at least something. Dr. Peter Davies, the doctor you quoted, he's the developer of the science behind Aricept, which is actually the class of drugs that is the only drug that has any efficacy. It's not that great for Alzheimer's. And you know, if this music, the way music affected a person, if it were a drug, it would be the biggest blockbuster drug in the history of the drug industry. You know, and you know, the efficacy of music, the power that it has in an institution, and that I'm hoping to have, let it have, is phenomenal. There's in New York City, Kohler Goldwater is a sort of a safety net institution in New York City. It's a very old and a really, in many ways, a wonderful institution. But the head of psychiatry did a study over 3 years where he gave one population with dementia personalized music, and the other control group, they didn't get personalized music. And the control group, they were able to reduce the reliance of in the institution on antipsychotic drugs from 38% of the population using antipsychotic drugs down to 13%. Mm-hmm. So this is with a savings of $400 per patient per month.
Mm.
So this is a published study. So the ramifications of this are enormous. As taxpayers, you know, we could save money through this. But even more important is, you know, the reason people are given these drugs, these antipsychotic drugs, is because the institutions have no other tool. They have to, if somebody's, acting out or yelling, just as somebody coming to life can change the quality of the floor, so can somebody acting out change the tenor of the floor. And so they give them these drugs. It's really their only tool to change the consciousness of a person.
And hold that thought, Michael. We're going to take a quick break. I'm speaking with Michael Rosato Bennett. He's writer, director, and producer of the new documentary Alive Inside, which takes a look at the power of music and the potential to really reach and affect people living with Alzheimer's disease and dementia. 5 million now. It's expected to double in the next 10 years. We'll be back after this.
This is your call on Local Public Radio. If you have a perspective that you have not yet heard in today's discussion, or a question you feel should be answered, please join today's conversation by calling us. It's toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. You can also send your email question or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock, the BBC's World Have Your Say.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about the crisis in Gaza. We'll talk about the long view of the situation with Israeli historian Tom Segev and Palestinian analyst Muin Rabbani. That's tomorrow. On Wednesday, we'll have a conversation about whether tipping is good for workers. Why do we have tipping? What's its history? And would we be better without it? And then on Thursday, we'll talk about corporate pressure campaigns. We'll talk about Walgreens deciding not to move its headquarters overseas to pay taxes and other corporate pressure campaigns. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we're speaking with Michael Rosato Bennett. He's writer, director, and producer of Alive Inside. It's an amazing documentary that takes a look at the power of music. What happens when you go into nursing homes and give people with Alzheimer's disease and dementia access to some of their favorite music? They wake up. They just re-engage. They start dancing. In fact, one woman who held on to her walker for 2 straight years started listening to salsa music, and she let go of it and started dancing. And other people who haven't spoken in years start talking about their past. So if you have any questions or comments for Michael or a personal story about the healing power of music, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can watch a clip on our website, yourcallradio.org. The film is now playing at Opera Plaza in San Francisco, Camera 7 in San Jose, and Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley. And let's hear from Lior in Berkeley. Hi, Lior. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I'm calling. First of all, I want to thank Michael for all his great work, because only if you really go to those places and spend some time there, you can see how much suffering and loneliness and alone there is for those people there. So part of them is so miserable, and it's so great to have music there to support them. I'm a graduate of voice, sound, and music healing program in California Institute of CIIS. I'm literally sitting outside Alzheimer's community about to come in, and I play music with the elders and with the Alzheimer's patients, and we just listened to the program, and I was so touched by it. That's why I called.
Well, thank you for calling. Then you will definitely love this film, so I hope you can see it. And I should also mention that some of the theaters have drop boxes. So if you have old iPods that you no longer use and want to donate, you can bring them to the theater. And Michael, maybe later in the show we can talk about where Dan is at in terms of getting iPods into all nursing homes across the country. But we have full lines, so I want to take a few more, and then we'll get your response. Let's hear from Milt in Oakland. Hi, Milt.
Hi, I volunteer at a skilled nursing facility. I visit people one-on-one there. Many of them are very isolated. And here's a couple of experiences I've had. One of them involves a man who lives there who doesn't have dementia, but nonetheless, as soon as we met, he says, I like jazz music and Afro-Cuban music, which I love. So I kept bringing him CDs, and they've got a boombox there, and we listened. It was astonishing how much he got into it and how we established a bond because of that. I was just rewarding on both sides. And another woman I've been visiting does have pretty profound dementia, and we sing together as best we can. So those are my two experiences.
Well, thank you. It sounds like the stories that we saw or see in the film Alive Inside. Michael, I'm sure you've got so many favorites, but can you tell us a few others? I was really struck by the woman, her name escapes me, with schizophrenia, who held on to her walker for 2 years. And you never know what kind of mood she's going to be in. Talk about your experience in meeting her.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like what the caller just said. Like, music throughout human history, you know, even into our prehistory, you know, music has been a way that we connect to other people and that we connect to ourselves, like in a way unlike anything else. I just so applaud. I applaud the gentleman who goes and sings, you know, to these people. I applaud the man who goes in and just gives of his time and his care. These people are modern day saints, you know. And I just and the music therapists that go in and change the spirit of for these lonely people. I'm such a fan of all of these people, and you know, that's the interesting thing. Just as the caller said, is that you know, music can have a profound effect on people who don't have dementia. It has a profound effect on you and I, and especially with people who have trouble navigating the world. Mm. You know, Denise is a person whose emotions are just, she's a bipolar schizophrenic diagnosis, and not that I put too much weight on diagnosis. She's a woman whose mind and emotions are out of control at times for her, and you know, to see a person who's just literally lost in their emotions find sort of a lifeline in music to climb back into a sort of sense of safety and connectedness is a wonderful gift and a wonderful tool, like for that volunteer who went in, and a tool to connect with another person. And this is really at the heart of this, of my story, is the price that humans pay when they feel disconnected. Mm. When they feel disconnected from their own life, when they feel disconnected from themselves, when they feel disconnected from reality through perhaps the overuse of medication. These are the most over-medicated population on the planet Earth.
You know. Dr. Bill Thomas, a gerontologist, told you that what we're spending on drugs that mostly do not work dwarfs what it would take to deliver music to every nursing home in America.
Yeah, so the cost to do this is not that much.
Right. It seems like such a no-brainer. He said, I can write a prescription for a $1,000 antidepressant, but if I want to provide someone with a $40 music system, it would take a lot of work because it doesn't count as medical intervention. The real business is in the pill bottle.
Right. We have a system, and that system is set up for a certain kind of care. It's medicalized care. And the problem is that you know, medicalized care is not what these people need. They do need medicalized care, of course, but medicine hasn't figured out any way to give anything to the human soul. And if a human is treated like an object, if a woman is treated like an object, mm-hmm. or a child is treated like an object, there is a loss of self, and it's very painful. And a lot of times people sort of become traumatized, and they sink, they disappear, they go inward. They try and find safety in some way, in retreating from the world. And you'll in the film we talk about, you know, people like in Africa who've suffered massive abuses and how they kind of shut down and get traumatized. And the same thing happens, I believe, in nursing homes. Is that, you know, after years of sort of isolation and they start to shut down. And so what we're really trying to do is say, hey, for a little bit of human energy and a little bit of money, we have a tool, a magic tool that we didn't really know how magic it was in music, you know. And it can be a lifeline for some of these people, especially people with dementia. You know, like Mary Lou has such a hard time navigating the world, because she can't filter out the noise, she can't filter out sounds, you know, to actually, and she has never forgotten how she used to be, you know. But when we put music on her and we put the Beach Boys on, I watched her go from a human being who was having incredible difficulty navigating the world to a human being inside a part of the world that she was capable of navigating 100% perfectly. Mm. And that shift for a human being is really awesome. You know, and it was the fact that we were there too, giving it to her and witnessing her and being with her as she was happy, that kind of magnified the whole experience for her. And you know, so it's really a story of connection, and I think that's why people cry. They cry because this is a hopeful story. There are so many big problems in the world, mm-hmm. like you were talking about to your viewers. You know, you know, Gaza, global warming, you know, inequity in wealth. Like, what can any of us do? You know, well,
right.
You know, Alzheimer's and aging is a big problem, and one that's going to get worse. But there's there's something we can do that's cheap, and it's full of love, and it makes everybody who's part of it more. We are going to do this. This is the amazing thing, that something, it started with one little guy having an experiment, and another little guy following him around with a camera is literally going to change, you know, life for many, many people.
And that is Michael Rosato Bennett. He's writer, director, and producer of a new documentary, Alive Inside, taking a look at the power of music. And it's playing at the Opera Plaza in San Francisco, Camera 7 in San Jose, and Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley. And thank you for the phone calls. Let's hear next from Suzanne in Oakland. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, wonderful show. I listened to it. And thanks so much for your film, Michael. I used to work for 5 years as a clinical supervisor with students who were learning to become psychotherapists, and we worked with elders with dementia, or what we would call forgetfulness, because the labels are just awful.
Right.
And a shout-out to Leo. We called him the Elder Whisperer. One of the things I do with my students the first month that they hit the floor was show them a video online with Naomi File at the IL with Gladys. And she's one of the early pioneers to really also break through, and I'm wondering if you have that in the film. When she sits with this African-American woman who hasn't spoken in 12 years. And, you know, every time I've seen it, and I've seen it, like, you know, probably 14 times, I tear up, because to see the amazing connection that she opens up with this woman just by singing with her. And no one has spoken to this woman, and she's been just sitting, you know.
Mm.
And watching my students work, and we always had a vision of getting iPod centers all around the milieu floor, because we had one gentleman in particular that a student worked with, and he'd had a stroke at age 52 and had trouble swallowing and eating and speaking, and, of course, great grief for his family and his kids. And when we put on reggae music with him, he would just come to life. And he and our amazing therapist who worked, recreational person who did the activities, to watch him unfold, because he was all folded over the way his disease began to, you know, unfold. Was he would turn in on himself and just curl up on the couch, and and when we would put music on or put headsets on him, it was like a different person. So,
well,
thank you for bringing this to the public. So appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That's what happened to Henry. And Suzanne, I know you will love this film, so thank you so much. I hope you get to see it. Let's go, and I'll get a comment in a minute. Let's go next to Cindy in San Leandro. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I want to say thank you. This program is great. I'm loving it. It's a very fresh topic for me, because I just came home from visiting both my folks who just turned 90.
Wow.
I have a very quick comment and a very quick question. My mother has quite a bit of dementia, and she's on top of that very, very mean-spirited. And I put on a CD that had all her songs from her youth in the 1940s, and she was able to sing the lyrics and dance to this music, and she listened to a full hour and a half of this music, and it was the only time I connected with her in a period of 2 weeks. And so it's just phenomenal. And
wow.
I know a lot of the same anecdotal kind of experiences that people have had. It speaks to the profoundness and the strength of what you're doing, so thank you for doing it.
Wow.
I did have a quick question, which is, and I apologize because I came in later in the program, and you may have spoken about this already, but in any of your efforts to get these iPods in the nursing homes, is there also an effort to have a music, an MP3 kind of thing where folks are listening together? Because, you know, the iPod with earphones can be somewhat isolating, but if folks are able to listen together, that may decrease some of the isolation and have it be more of a group experience and a shared experience, which would be even more profound, I think.
Well, thank you for calling, Cindy. We'll talk about that. We did address it earlier, and when people do listen together, I mean, what's so what's so effective about this is that they can listen to their favorite music, so it's personalized for them. And then when they come to life, others in the room come to life. We talked about that briefly, but we will address it in just a minute. Thank you for calling, and thank you so much for sharing the story about your parents. Let's go next to Stephen in San Francisco. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, wonderful program. And I just wanted to add, in addition to the music, when my late mother was began to get demented, or whatever the right word is, and very silent, I began to read poetry to her, and I began to realize it was the rhythm that really ignited her, and that she could listen, and then she could talk about the poems. I would, you know, get her to say what she thought about what she heard, and it just, and then she began to improvise and make up her own poems, and I believe it was the rhythm and the sound and the kind of the intimacy of that kind of relationship. So I just wanted to say that's one more level to add to this kind of engagement that you can do in order to bring people out of that isolation and feel, make them, help them feel engaged in the world rather than in such a depressing retreat.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling. Let's hear next from Anne in Santa Cruz. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
I took care of all my family members, must have been about eight of them at home until they went to heaven. Mm. I just could not stomach what goes on in most nursing homes in California. You end up with a bed and maybe a bedside table, and if you're lucky, a chair for your visitor. And you just become super isolated, and nobody really talks to you that much, and you receive about 2.25 hours of care a day, which includes your meal preparation, your bathing, you know, and so on. And there's really, most places, there's just not much happening, and you're just super isolated. So it's very natural to want to retreat and just disconnect. And I'm really happy to hear that other people are going into nursing homes and trying to find a non-chemical way to help people enjoy the rest of their lifetimes. And, you know, music makes your life real again. I can tell you my mother never listened to hip-hop music, but at the end of her life, that's what she wanted to listen to.
Really?
It's kind of crazy because she was like 90, you know?
What? How did she discover hip-hop music? What
well,
sparked
my mom
that?
Was pretty much legally blind, and so I had a really cool radio for her that just had the old-fashioned dials, which are hard to find anymore. So she just searched around.
Wow.
And she found it, and she loved it, and it was a little hard on us because she was also pretty deaf, but
wow.
She liked it a lot, so we just, you know, we just went along with that. But the idea that you're going into nursing facilities and interacting with people, I couldn't be happier. I've worked as an advocate for many years and produced a couple films about crimes against the elderly in nursing homes, mm-hmm. and just the public coming in and interacting with people will reduce some of the level of the neglect and the crimes. And we'll, you know, make people know that you care about them.
Yeah. So,
and to have this beautiful thing, someone cares about the music that you now love or that you did love.
Right. I mean, well, thank you for calling. I mean, what's so many calls, Michael, about engagement. And again, 1.6 million people are spending the last stages of their lives in 16,000 nursing homes. And because 10,000 people are now turning 65 every day in this country, I mean, these numbers are going to explode, right? Do you think the public at large realizes how isolated so many of these people feel? I mean, I was shocked to learn that half of them never have visitors.
Right. And, you know, that other half that has visitors, that it can be very infrequent. I mean, half never have a visitor, ever. You know, some people get only one visitor once a year, you know. Another aspect that I'm just deeply, deeply interested in is, you know, this is the perfect intergenerational meeting point, because young people are very, very profound in technology, and they love music, and old people need that sort of, you know, skill. And I've always felt that, you know, that when you go to visit somebody in a nursing home, it's really an experience that's fraught with failure. You know, if you come and you know, maybe nothing happens, and then you feel like you wasted your time and you wasted their time, and it's such an effort to get to a nursing home for most people to do this bit of volunteering. And or if you have a great experience with them, then your secret guilt is that you're leaving and that you won't see them for a long time. Maybe you'll never see them again. You know, there's been this incredible connection between the very old and the very young, almost from the beginning of our human existence. And right now, the young and the old are incredibly separated. So what I've done, and it's in beta right now, is I've tried to address this. I made an app that I want to take it into schools and take it into universities and take it into churches and do all a sort of an outreach program to kind of inspire young people, raise their consciousness about aging, address their fears of our cultural fears of aging, and then kind of give them a tool so maybe, you know, as a class project, they could go into a nursing home and help these elders find their deepest music.
It's such a great idea.
Yeah, and as we've discussed, did you hear the emotion in these calls?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when the woman was talking about, you know, the only moment she was able to really connect with her mother, mm-hmm. it almost floored me. Like, the emotion that people have around this issue, and the pleasure, the human pleasure that's possible when you're able to give a moment of connection to another human being, especially one you love, especially one perhaps you've seen drift away from you or drift into darkness. You know, it is when your callers are calling, it just reaches across the divide of human beings. You know, when that woman told that story, I was as though someone had pressed on my heart. You know, and so, you know, that's this. We're turning into a culture in which everybody is sort of separated from mm-hmm. each other in some ways. That's I don't mean to be putting words in other people's mouths, but I think that's a real disease that has come out of the way we have organized ourselves now and the way we're organizing ourselves. We don't have as much community as we used to. So, you know, we almost need to train people in empathy and in love and in, you know, and actually to receive value from just the experience of connecting with another human being.
Well, we have to close in just a few minutes, but let's get one more story. Let's hear from Sheila in San Francisco. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Rose. Hi, Michael. I'm very excited because Michael talked about the world needing to know about aging, that we hide our fears about aging. So I think there's also a larger issue which Michael has spoken to. And if I can give a plug, this is the fourth year we're doing the Legacy Film Festival on Aging here in San Francisco in September. And there are films not only about Alzheimer's, but how we view aging, how can we grow old in a meaningful way. And there are other films on subjects such as how we can stay physically not fit, but just how we can continue to be vital as we age. So there are other topics as well, and I'm hoping that we can come on your show at some point and
Sheila,
talk more about aging issues. Someone had said to
Sheila,
us,
I'm sorry, we have to, we're almost about to end, but I will definitely pitch the show at our editorial meeting. Please stay on the line, and we're going to get your contact info.
Okay,
thank you so much. So, Michael, we just have about a minute and a half left. I mean, the doctors in this film say music is more effective at activating the brain than any other stimulus. No pill can engage people like music can. Again, the doctor said this is a no-brainer. So where is Dan in trying to get something as simple as an iPod and headphones into nursing homes across the country? And what can we do to help?
Well, if you need any help yourself, you can go to musicandmemory.org. That's Dan's website. You can download PDFs on how to set up a playlist for your elders. If you want to know where the film is playing nationally, you can go to aliveinside.us and just click on, you know, see the film. When Dan and I began this journey, he was in 6 nursing homes. Right now he's in 650 nursing homes.
Wow.
State of Wisconsin has already, because of working with Dan, they've decided that they're going to do every single nursing home in the state. We showed the film in Utah, and Zions Bank and Skull Candy said, we're doing this in this state. They're well on their way to at least getting every nursing home trained in this kind of idea. And there are states all over the country that are kind of reaching out to Dan. And Harry Belafonte is, you know, behind us, and he's helping us with his organization to do this sort of outreach into schools and into universities and churches. And we're actually in Canada. We showed the film, an early version, and a guy jumped up in the audience and said, I'll give $250,000.
Wow.
And right now in Canada, if you have Alzheimer's, you go to the Alzheimer's Association of Toronto, and they will give you an iPod and a $100 music card and help you find your music. You know, we are progressing, really. And if you want to donate an iPod, take it to one of the theaters, there's boxes there. If you want to send it to Dan, you can go on his website and download a prepaid envelope. You know, we are making tremendous progress, and we haven't really started yet.
Wow.
I mean, we're still the tip of the iceberg. Only 1% of people have we touched.
Michael Rosato-Bennett is writer, director, and producer of Alive Inside, and you can find all of that information at yourcallradio.org. Michael, thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for making this beautiful film.
Thank you so much. I love your callers. They're so wonderful.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. What can be done to end the crisis in Gaza? On the next Your Call, we'll take a long view of the current situation with Israeli historian Tom Segev and Palestinian analyst Muin Rabbani. What does this latest assault on Gaza reveal about the political landscape in Israel and the occupied territories? What role can the U.S., Egypt, and the international community play in addressing the underlying causes of the violence? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Becca Hoekstra produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is the executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.